Greetings from St. Michael's Broadcast.
This is a special report of St. Michael's Radio,
which is the one radio program designed to bring to you the urgent messages of Jesus and Mary, as given in these last times through their servant, Veronica of the Cross. And of course, Veronica was the celebrated seer of Bayside, who was instrumental in transmitting over 300 powerful and enlightening messages to mankind. However, the topic of discussion today is not so much the message from heaven, but rather Bayside's legal standing with the Church. Despite claims that the controversial Bayside apparitions were condemned in 1986, the Church to date has taken no action to investigate what could very well prove to be one of the great Marian apparitions of history. To better understand the Church's hesitancy to investigate the apparition, we go to the message of June 18, 1986. Therein, Jesus, in a few words, explains the present-day apostasy, saying, quote, "Satan entered my church upon earth. He brought with him his agents, and Satan himself, the deceiver of all mankind, sat in on Vatican II and maneuvered all the outsiders to come in and distort my doctrines and distort the truth." In this same message, the Blessed Virgin told the seer Veronica, quote, "Send the message throughout the world with great haste. Satan has come with his agents to try to stop you. They are now planning a measure of retaliation. Be prepared, my child. When it happens, you will know that it is straight from Satan." And indeed, Our Lady's prophecy was fulfilled within a short time. It was just 5 months later, on November 4th, 1986, that Bishop McGarvero of the Brooklyn Diocese issued a negative statement against Bayside, which came in retaliation to the June 18th, 1986 message. The bishop and his colleagues were outraged that our Lord had exposed the sinister takeover of Vatican II, a reform that many of today's liberalist clergy hold dear. However, the fact remains that there has been no ecclesiastical investigation of the Bayside apparitions. The Church must follow its own rules, and before the Church can proclaim the status of an alleged miracle, it must first conduct a legal, canonical investigation, the most rudimentary form of which has never been attempted. The bishop was simply acting in imitation of Caiaphas, the high priest, who rent his garments and said, "What further need have we of testimony? Behold, we have now heard the blasphemy from his own mouth." Matthew 26:65. However, if the Bishop of Brooklyn alleges that there is something truly wrong with Bayside, then they should make it official through an investigation. If in fact Bayside was spurious, as they say, they certainly would be able to tell you why in clear terms. But as it stands, they can offer no explanation for their present verdict against Bayside, nor has any theologian or clergyman ever been able to point out a legal problem about Bayside or its message. It always comes back to Bishop Muguerra's letter, which was not grounded in legal procedure. As such, the bishop's statement is null and void and has no bearing upon the Catholic faithful. The faithful are at liberty to frequent the apparition site of Bayside in New York until that time when it is officially determined that there is something wrong with the apparition. It is true that not all apparitions warrant an investigation, since it is already evident on the surface that they are contrary to the one true faith that was handed down through sacred tradition, and that they in fact are making fun of religion. How often do we hear about some woman having a vision of some angel hanging upside down in her orange tree and everybody has to go flock and see what's going on? But such is not the case with Bayside. Given its outstanding fruits and the plethora of supernatural evidence pouring forth from the holy grounds for the past 37 years, not to mention the universal impact the Bayside message has had upon the Church worldwide. Nay, the Brooklyn Chancery has to investigate Bayside if they wish to maintain their present position against it. If they cannot back up their statement of November 4th, 1986, then they must retract it with an apology, if in fact their wish is to remain within the confines of Church law. In the meantime, Bayside remains in full legal keeping with the Church because of the abrogation of Canon Laws 1399 and 2318 back in March of 1966, which now gives all Catholics the freedom to believe and promote apparitions without having to wait for the formal sanction of the Church. The stipulation is that there could be nothing in the material that is contrary to the Orthodox faith and teachings of the Church. And of course, the best theologians of our time, including the late Father John Hardin, have gone on record as saying that the Bayside message is in perfect accord with Catholic faith, morals, and teaching. Even the former chancellor of the Brooklyn Diocese, Monsignor Bevilacqua, defended Veronica's integrity, saying, quote, "She's not saying anything contrary to the faith." And this is why, in all honesty, why many of today's clergy are against the Bayside message. Let's be honest. Because it represents the very thing they've been trying to get away from since Vatican II, namely sacred holy tradition. Let them consider our Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, who himself is attempting to bring back the treasures of the traditional Latin Mass something that many of today's religious leaders look down upon as if it were outdated or condemned. Through his motu proprio, the Holy Father is telling the Church that the Latin Mass is not a museum piece or a specialty item, but is an integral part of Catholic worship. The Pope's objective is to integrate the old Latin Tridentine Mass with the mainstream of Catholic worship so that Catholics everywhere can avail themselves of this essential element that has formed the very backbone of the Church through the centuries. You see, we cannot condemn these spiritual jewels that God has left us through sacred tradition, no more than we may condemn Bayside, which remains uninvestigated. Bayside is intimately tied with Catholic tradition. There is no separating the two. Father Robert Skirla, the former International Fatima Blue Army chaplain, put it nicely when he said, quote, "If they're going to condemn Bayside, then they might as well condemn the whole Catholic Church with it. And I think that's what many of today's Catholic bishops and clergy are doing." The question is sometimes asked, is Bayside condemned? But to that we would retort by saying, was Jesus condemned? Whatever your answer would be to that would certainly be the same for Bayside. SMWA President Michael Mangan conducted a special meeting presentation at the LaGuardia Marriott on August 5, 2007, which was to commemorate the 12th anniversary of the passing of Veronica. And this very issue of the so-called investigation and verdict against Veronica was the topic of discussion. So we do urge you to listen as we go back now and recap this momentous meeting.
Is Bayside condemned? The true truth of Our Lady's appearances in Queens, New York. All of you here are loyal sons and daughters of the Church. Most of you are daily communicants in your parish church. But what separates you and thousands of others like you is that you believe that Jesus and Mary are appearing in Queens, New York, despite the negative judgment of the Brooklyn Diocese, where the apparitions occur. Being faithful and loyal, normally you wouldn't dare think of defying legitimate church authority. But there's a difference between intelligent obedience and mindless obedience. You being informed and educated, you realize, you have come to realize, the utter travesty of justice committed against Our Lady's mission here. And you've rightfully concluded that you are not obliged to obey an unjust ruling, but perfectly within your rights as a faithful Roman Catholic to frequent this apparition, support it, and promote it. In fact, that's our obligation. That's our obligation. In fact, that's what our Lord instructed us and taught us on June 18, 1984. Quote, "It is your duty as a Catholic, a Roman Catholic, to spread the message of God and save some of these poor souls." It's crucial that we review and be well-versed on this topic, because it's our job, yours and mine, to correct the myths and disinformation that is so widespread about the Bayside apparitions. There's a perception, and then there's the reality. And most of us know what people's perception is of Bayside. Most of the time when we mention Bayside, it's usually a very strong negative reaction. But what is the reality? It certainly is not condemned. It is very important that we're informed, so when we are speaking to our family, friends, parishioners, their conscience can be eased and they can be correctly informed. But let's get to the heart of the matter. The Brooklyn Diocese issued a negative declaration on Bayside on November 4th, 1986, predicted by Our Lady in June of that year, by the way. And in the letter, the diocese states that it performed, quote, "a thorough investigation," end of quote. Every time I read that, it takes my breath away, because they have to be terribly deceived, severely deluded, or they have a fertile imagination if they think they did a thorough investigation. In fact, let's go to Webster's Dictionary for a definition of thorough. Quote, "done or proceeding through to the end, omitting nothing, complete, very exact, accurate, or painstaking, especially in regard to details." That does not exactly describe the investigation of the Brooklyn Diocese. If it was thorough, they would have followed the Vatican guidelines for for Discerning Apparitions, titled, quote, Norms of the Congregation for Proceeding in Judging Alleged Apparitions and Revelations by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. They would have opened up an administrative inquiry, which usually consists of three qualified people on a committee. It can be 23 people if they want, but they have to be qualified. And they have to determine four things. Number one, whether the event is supernatural. It has to be beyond a human explanation. Number two, the honesty, sincerity, mental soundness, and moral conduct of the seer. Number three, the messages are error-free. They are in total accord with Catholic faith and morals. Number four, the fruit generated by the claimed apparition. They gather and review this available evidence for weeks, months, maybe even years, if necessary, and they submit a report, usually a signed report by the chancellor, to the bishop with their verdict. It's this report that will prove or will demonstrate that there was, quote, a thorough investigation. It answers all the questions. Who was on the committee? What are their credentials? When did the investigation begin? How long did it last? Etc., etc., etc. Where is this report? Where is this mystery report? Very, very elusive, isn't it? It's been asked for, sought for by many different people through the years, as recently by St. Michael's World Apostolate in June 2003. If you remember, James Donohue and I were called down to the chancery at the request of the then reigning bishop, Bishop Thomas Daly, and we spoke with the chancellor and the vice chancellor. And we asked them point blank about this report. No comment. There is no report because there hasn't been, quote, a thorough investigation. And there's your smoking gun right there. There's your smoking gun right in the bishop's statement. The bishop's letter states a thorough investigation, but there's no proof or evidence to support it. On the contrary, there's mountains of evidence that proves that there was no investigation. For example, they never interrogated Veronica of the Cross. The principal witness, the seer, was never questioned or interviewed. Can you imagine that for a moment, ladies and gentlemen? The Brooklyn Diocese is going to issue a statement that has worldwide ramifications. It's going to go throughout the universal church, and it's going to be quoted like holy scripture by every chancery in the world. And they did not even interview Veronica. Is that insane? That is insanely unjust. That's why this letter is meaningless. It's null and void. You are not bound to obey it. And that's why Veronica said what she said after getting direct counsel from Our Lady on November 1st, 1973. Quote, should we have been approached in truth and justice, then I would have been subjugated to obedience. But since I was approached by an agent of Satan, I do not have to follow him. End of quote. I like that statement on justice from the 1971 World Synod of Bishops. Quote, anyone who ventures to speak to people about justice must first be just in their eyes. End of quote. We have to remember that justice is a cardinal virtue. It is incumbent, especially with a bishop or representatives of Christ, that they be sterling examples of justice. And when they're not, as Our Lady and Our Lord have taught us, as well as St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Augustine, then you're not bound to obey it. And poor Veronica, can you imagine what she endured for this mission? And as I mentioned, for this statement to go out without being able to defend herself, that requires a lot of faith. I was telling this story the other day to some of the good Baysiders. I really like the story about faith, but you may have heard of Sister Mary Pat. She's a home health aide, very dedicated to her patients. She would travel every day to her patients. And this one morning, she was going to a patient, and she ran out of gas. And fortunately, she was only a block away from the gas station. So she walks to the gas station. She asks for the gas can. And the attendant says, "I'm sorry," he says, "but it's already on loan. The person will be back in 30 minutes. And she says, "Gee, I don't have 30 minutes. But being a good nun, she's in habit, very dedicated. She's very resourceful. She goes back to her car, gets a bedpan, walks back to the gas station with a bedpan, fills up the bedpan with gas, goes back to her car and starts filling up the car from her bedpan, starts filling up the tank. Two guys across the way are observing this. And the one guy said to the other, "If that car starts, I'm turning Catholic." But you talk about faith. That's what Veronica needed to survive in this mission. The tremendous faith. And that's what you and I are going to imitate. And that's what we're called to do as well. It should be noted too, brothers and sisters in Christ, the bishop doesn't have to do an investigation. If he thinks it's not worthy of his time or resources, he doesn't have to do it. The seer is saying that St. Joseph appeared in shorts with Nike sneakers. Well, probably the bishop shouldn't allocate time and resources to it. But that's not the point. He said in his statement that he did, quote, a thorough investigation. Where is it? This letter, this statement is exposed. It's a falsehood. As you have heard many times before, this investigation is a sham. Let's go to Webster's Dictionary again. What's a sham? A counterfeit purporting to be genuine. That describes this statement very well. I like that Latin term, sequitur. It means in English, it follows. So, investigation report. Thorough investigation, signed report. Sequitur. It follows. But it doesn't follow in this case. And as I said earlier, normally we would obey the bishop. That would be our duty as a good and faithful Catholic. But not in this case. Not when he's acting out of bounds. And this letter, as you know, has been extremely damaging to the cause. And we know from Miraculous Picture, from Veronica, that the bishop is doing some serious accounting for that. As a matter of fact, Bishop McGavro died on Veronica's birthday, July 12th, interestingly. But we're not going to get personal or speculate on motives. All we are saying, ladies and gentlemen, is that there has never been a true canonical investigation. And don't say that there has been one. And let's get one going. Let's get one going, but let's follow the rules. The church didn't follow its own rules. And we're talking about the Brooklyn Diocese. Didn't follow the rules for investigating an apparition. So when we say, when people ask, is Bayside condemned? It's laughable. You and I think it's funny. How could it be condemned when there hasn't even been an investigation? Although we should note that the word condemned has never been in any church statement. In fact, the then chancellor of the diocese, Monsignor Bevilacqua, he said, quote, "Condemned is a very strong word. I'm not hesitant to use it, but it doesn't belong in something like this." End of quote. He also added that it's not a sin to attend the rosary vigils. And interestingly, four times in the bishop's letter, it states that the messages endanger or are contrary to Catholic faith and morals. Four times. Oddly, not one example is given. Not one. And yet we know the primary duty of a bishop is to preach, teach, instruct. And if these messages are so dangerous, why wouldn't you give a few examples to alert the faithful? They can't, because there aren't any examples in the Bayside message against Catholic faith and morals. It is in complete harmony with the ancient wisdom of the Church and all of its teachings. Even the Chancellor, Monsignor Bevilacqua, stated in 1980, quote, "She's not saying anything contrary to the faith," end of quote. Well, you and I already know that anyways. Father John Hardin, the late Jesuit theologian, very popular, preeminent, he acknowledged that there's nothing against Catholic faith and morals in the message. He didn't believe, but he admitted that there's nothing against Catholic faith and morals in the message. Father Malachi Martin, before he died, he told a friend that he believed in the Bayside messages. And we all know that Father Malachi Martin was a noted theologian, personal advisor to three popes, lecturer, author, well-versed in Catholic theology, that's for sure. Then how about our own Father Skirla, Robert Skirla, former International Blue Army chaplain? Father Skirla has gone on record as saying that there's nothing against Catholic faith and morals in the message. I always liked that term, spurious, that the Diocese of Brooklyn would always throw at poor Veronica, that your visions are spurious. And anyone who does any research or has any knowledge, like most of you do on these apparitions, the only thing that's spurious is their, quote, thorough investigation. In the meantime, we're going to imitate Veronica the Cross. We're going to be patient and persevering in this mission because we're doing the right thing in good conscience. Our day will come soon. There's no question about that. We have the good word from Jesus and Mary. But these things take time. Consider for a moment Sister Faustina. She was given the Mercy of God devotion, and her first apparition was in 1931. The decree establishing Divine Mercy Sunday was issued in the year 2000. It took 69 years for Sister Faustina's work to come to complete fruition, if you will. And that's in more traditional times with, you might say, a more appealing message. So we're going to keep on keeping on, which means we continue to do the work you and I are called to do as disciples of the latter days, by getting the true truth of Our Lady's appearances in Queens, New York, to all of God's children. Veronica of the Cross, pray for us. And Veronica, thank you for all you've done and for the courage and sterling example that you've given to all of us here, and something that we can imitate, worthy of imitation for sure. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
This is St. Michael's Broadcast, and we've been listening to SMWA President Michael Mangan speaking at the 12th Annual Veronica the Cross meeting that was held at the LaGuardia Marriott on August 5th, 2007. And how interesting to note that just 3 days after this meeting, a deadly tornado touched down in Brooklyn, New York, which was the first such twister to hit there in 118 years. The storm uprooted 217 trees, damaged 40 homes, and wrecked some 200 cars. Is the Almighty trying to send a message to the Brooklyn Diocese that they have been derelict in duty? This freak tornado was indeed an exclamation point to this historic meeting that took place, as if God is saying, Amen. Our Lady many times has said there will be accidents that are not accidents. It's interesting to note that this tornado hit Brooklyn on August 8th. That's 8-8. Number 8 signifies the priesthood, but 2 8s signifies a bishop. Veronica herself told us this. when Bishop Mugavero passed away, which by the way was on Veronica's birthday, a miraculous photo was taken in his regard, and on the photo appeared 2/8. Veronica, under Our Lady's direction, interpreted this to mean a bishop, or the office of bishop. Clearly, the Brooklyn tornado on 8/8/07 is a message to the bishop and clergy of Brooklyn that this great and historic apparition of Bayside be investigated and not ignored any longer. How long does poor Veronica have to be dragged through the mud? You can't just convict somebody without trying them first. Even in our courts, which aren't all that pure these days, if somebody has to pay a fine or go to jail, the judge is going to tell them why. There's no such thing as, I don't know why. But poor Veronica never knew why she was given the third degree, told that her visions were spurious, that the message was dangerous, and that she was being disobedient. But what do they base this on? Or at least, what is their reasoning? And now we're going to hear from our beloved seer Veronica, as she gives some of her own personal thoughts and commentary about the so-called investigation. This is Veronica speaking at the February 13th, 1977 Holy Hour at the Sacred Grounds.
Now, I believe in the past 7 years, only once did I place upon tape for all to hear the truth about the so-called investigation made allegedly by the Brooklyn Diocese. I would like people to know the truth, as only I can give you the truth, and I feel I have a responsibility to give you this truth, because I am the one who is being used as the example before others. Now, in reference to the so-called investigation made from about alleged, as they say, apparitions, now, there was no formal investigation in reference to Our Lady's work in Bayside. For many years, I say many, because Our Lady first started her work with me, through me, in 1968 with St. Teresa. During that time, I approached many priests trying to find a spiritual director, but it was not in the will of God. And later, of course, I found out through Jesus that he said his very words were, "You will do better by yourself, my child. I will direct you. You will go further." I understand now why he says that. Experience has taught me that if I had been under a spiritual director, Our Lady's message would have been silenced a long time ago. However, only heaven knows the count of souls that we have been able to gather for Jesus in the time of the persecution. It's a minor persecution we undergo in comparison to Jesus' trials and his cross. However, I want you to know the facts about the so-called investigation. I don't do this to try to cast any slight upon the individuals concerned, but the facts must be given, not in defense of myself, because I do not have to defend myself or my actions for Our Lady. I am only in obedience to Jesus and Our Lady. Now, no investigation from the years 1968 up to 1975, not one single individual ever called me, either by telephone or written by letter, to come into them and speak personally with them about what was going on. Though we conducted the vigils as requested by Our Lady and Jesus from 1970 right through, and the holy hours, the past approximately 3 to 4 years. Now, the so-called, what they may consider in the chancery, a form of investigation by, they say, the local clergy. Well, this local clergy, I assure you, is only, if I can believe the words of Monsignor King to me upon the telephone, when I asked him in all of this rumpus, please tell me, I think I'm entitled to know, who are the people who investigated me? And he sort of got a little confused, but he did say, well, two Monsignors and a seminarian. And I thought to myself, I understand, Monsignor MacDonald, the pastor of St. Robert, Monsignor King, who looked upon a Sunday holy hour, I believe, there were alleged reports of his being out of habit in a, I believe it was a a leather jacket, observing what was going on at a Sunday holy hour, but not speaking with me or anyone in the group. He just eyed and made some type of observation. And the seminarian, and I believe in the, and I have to admit something that's not quite legal, but in my own direction from God, I taped that telephone conversation with Monsignor King. And also he stated that the seminarian read the message. And this is the so-called judgment. It appears that the seminarian, and I'm not Monsignor McDonald, I have more to say about it. He's a good soul, and so are all the others involved, good souls, but misdirected or following in obedience from the leader. But the seminarian obviously did not like or agree with the message.
You are listening to St. Michael's broadcast, and we've been listening to a recorded segment of the Seer Veronica speaking at the Holy Hour of February 13th, 1977. The mystery remains as to why the Brooklyn Chancery issued their negative statement against Bayside, even though really it's no great mystery. Veronica hits the nail on the head in her talk here, where she said that the Brooklyn Chancery, quote, obviously did not like or agree with the message. And that's really the crux of the matter. These scribes and high priests did not like or agree with our Lord's message either, and look what they did to him. Our Lady has often said that the clergy today are re-crucifying her son. And in the message of June 18, 1986 that we quoted above, Jesus speaks to the clergy of the church toward the end, where he says, quote, you will stop your intricacies within my church. You will stop experimenting. I gave you the rules to follow many years ago, 2,000 years approximately. And why now, 2,000 years later, do you deem it necessary to change my church upon earth? You will be judged accordingly. You will return my church to its former glory, and in that manner you will have more vocations, and more entering the seminaries, and not fleeing from them as they hear the heresies, and all other innovations that are going on within my church. This is my last and final word to my clergy. Change now or suffer a just punishment and banishment. Hence, the reason for Bishop Mugavero's statement of November 4th, 1986, which came just 5 months after this message. We wish to point out that this report today on the so-called investigation is in no way exhaustive or comprehensive. There are many more particulars that we could pass on to you concerning this, but this much is given so that you will understand that there was no investigation of Bayside, and that accordingly it remains in perfect legal keeping with the Church. And with this freedom we forge ahead, and with the grace of God we are making progress. The work is increasing. At present we are getting 2.4 million hits a year on our website. The response at this time is especially being generated by the good people out there circulating our leaflets and material, especially our new booklet, Pearls from Heaven, which is making its inroads, not to mention several beautiful new billboards going up in the New York area, including one right in Brooklyn. It's a big 42-foot job that we have hanging over the 278 Expressway in Brooklyn that has a monthly circulation of 2.7 million. We'd like to get a few more of these up, not only in New York, but around the country. And with your prayers and your financial support, we will succeed in bringing this urgent message to the populace. A good way, too, of spreading the message is to simply pass on our website to others. That's www.smwa.org. When you get on the web, it puts you in touch with this great mission of the last times that has blossomed through the intercession of Our Lady of the Roses, Mary Help of Mothers. That website again, smwa.org, our toll-free line 1-800-345-MARY. At our 34th anniversary banquet that was held at the LaGuardia Marriott in June 2004, a number of pilgrims came forward to testify to the many graces received at Bayside. This was attended by some 400 people, and the event was taped, so we're going to play a little clip of this now to give you a better idea of how Our Lady is working in the lives of her people.
We're talking about, you know, Our Lady bearing good fruits today, and we have seven examples today that are going to come up at this time, and we're going to take some testimonies in brief, starting with Father S. You know by now this is Father Robert Skirla. Okay. Father Skirla, as former International Fatima Blue Army chaplain, what is your comment about the message of Bayside?
I had a St. Mary's of the Assumption parish. All of a sudden, these Bayside messages started to appear in the back of my church. I don't know where they came from. I said, well, I got to know what my people are reading. So I took the messages, and I took them home, and I studied them. I mean, top to bottom. for the next 10 years, I got my homilies from all the messages. And I never said, this is from Bayside. If I did, they would have said, oh, you can't do that. But I didn't say anything. They didn't know the difference. It was Catholic doctrine, solid as a rock. But Bayside people that I met are, I consider, very solid Catholics. After I read the messages, what Jesus and Mary were saying, I would say that it restored my confidence in the one true Catholic Church. Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Rachel Sanchez, you're from Astoria, New York. Would you like to tell the good people here what happened to you here on the sacred grounds here a couple of years ago?
Okay, the year 2000, around Easter morning, I went to the holy grounds and St. Michael appeared to me. And I was astounded, I couldn't believe my eyes, but he was in a beautiful yellow light, bright, and he was awesome. His mightiness of the power of God within him emanated from him, and it was just frightful to look at him.
St. Michael the Archangel appeared to you in the grounds. What was his message to you?
He told me that, why are you so sad? First he said, I'm St. Michael the Archangel, why are you so sad? And then he went on to say that, remember, the Eternal Father has sent his only begotten Son to suffer and die for you. So rejoice. You have been redeemed. Rejoice. Always remember to rejoice.
And this, every time you remember that, this has been a source of strength and consolation to you.
Yes, it has. And it's like awesome. Just to think about the love of the Father that came through him. It was overwhelming. Awesome.
By the fruits you will know them. I understand this made a believer too out of your husband, Robert. Robert, I understand that you were away from the church for 42 years and now this has caused you to come back.
Last year I started doing the rosaries and everything else. I don't know where I got the strength to impress my wife. That helped me a lot.
So you think that this grace has come through Our Lady of the Roses here at Bayside?
Yes.
Thank you. God bless both of you. Susan Maravec from Reading, Massachusetts. I understand that your faith just suddenly bloomed overnight. Would you like to tell the people here what happened?
Well, I guess you could say it bloomed overnight. I was surfing the internet, doing research, mainly on Malachi Martin. And I stumbled over the Bayside website and began to read and read the messages and had a very profound experience in that I realized I was reading the truth. And I proceeded to read the website over a period of probably about 3 days. And
it looked like something just awakened in you all of a sudden.
It did. It did. It really stirred my soul. It inspired me. It inspired me to return to the church, to start finding my way back, to go back and make a general confession. I had been away from the church for 25 years and really just got it all out, all off of my chest. It opened up the path to me back to the church. I started going to church every day, saying the rosary. About a month later, I came to my first vigil. I had a very profound experience. It was an experience of contrition and repentance. I pretty much wept through the whole thing, you know, whatever was left sort of washed away. And Bayside was my way back to the faith.
This really liberated you like a little dove. Now you found your nest and you're right at home.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm very grateful for it.
Thank you for sharing that with us. Grace Fernandez from Miami, Florida, and her husband, Dr. Manny Fernandez. Grace, would you tell the people here, what happened to you back in 1985?
Okay, 1985, I came here for the first time. 4 months after, I was diagnosed with a lung cancer in my breast. My surgery was scheduled for December the 12th. I came for the vigil of the Immaculate Conception 4 days before, and it disappeared completely during the vigil.
Your tumor, your malignant tumor that you had to be operated on 4 days later, completely disappeared the evening of the vigil. And what was your response?
Well, imagine.
This needed to be operated immediately, and when you went to Bayside on December 7th, Feast of the Immaculate Conception, your cancer disappeared immediately, and the medical experts have no explanation, and your cure has remained to date?
19 years after. And I have to recognize that Dr. Henry, being a Protestant, did a letter to the Pope in December 1987. That letter was handed to the Pope in a public audience where many of the Baysiders are here. There were many Baysiders that day.
Let me ask you one question. What do you attribute this cure to?
This cure? The grace of God.
Our Lady of the Roses,
Our Lady of the Roses intercession, of course.
Thank you. God bless you for sharing that with us. Norma Fosdick from Omaha, Nebraska. Norma, I understand that you were away from the church and the sacraments for 50 years, and I understand that you suddenly came back. What brought you back to Holy Mother Church?
Well, in 1986, I got a rose petal, and I carried it in my wallet until Michael and them came to Omaha to talk about Bayside. And after that, after I saw that, I went to confession.
With the way that they presented the faith, that inspired you to come back to confession. That gave you a beautiful image of the Catholic Church, and that inspired you to return to the bosom of Holy Mother Church. And you have been now with the church and the sacrament since.
Yes, I have.
God bless.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Diana Strain from Connecticut. Now, Diana, if you can tell the people here, where were you at before your introduction to Bayside?
Oh, before I came to Bayside, I was living a life right in the pit of hell through alcohol, drugs, and being promiscuous. I was right there amongst all the bad ones. I also lost my children because of the alcohol and the drugs. They were taken away from me by a court. Right after my father passed away, I've got direct orders from heaven. I had her spiritual voice. The voice told me if I wanted to be cured, I was to go to the shrine of Bayside. Now, I hadn't really heard about Bayside, except I knew my sister used to go to a place in New York and she'd pray. So I went to the shrine and I observed quite a bit. God had big plans for me, even though I was very reluctant about the fact why he wanted me there. I said, Lord, I'm here. What do you want? And he showed me. I saw Veronica, but I looked into her eyes and I saw something that was not of this world. And I'll never forget that. So I kept coming to Bayside. And one night I collapsed on the floor. And when I collapsed on the floor, my sister picked me up and she took my blood pressure because we were all nurses' aides and whatnot. She took my blood pressure and it was like down to about 80 over 50. So I was like going out. I said to her, I feel like I'm dying and my soul is leaving my body. It's going out through my feet. She gave me a blessed rose petal, which I took, holy water, which I drank, and a St. Benedict medal, which I placed on my forehead. My blood pressure came up again. So after that, they said I'd be all right. I went to sleep. Next morning, I got up, heard this voice again saying, now, throw them away. So I took the beer, the cigarettes, and whatever else I had, was still taking, and I dumped it all in the garbage. That's when I made my decision to give my life back to God. I had been a Catholic. I was raised in the Catholic Church. We did pray the rosary from time to time. When I was younger, I prayed it all the time. But now I've had direct orders from heaven that if I wanted really to be healed, this is the way to go. So I left the bar stool and I went to a church pew.
Bar stool to a church pew. It's not as expensive that way, huh? So since you're coming in contact with Bayside, you have been drug-free, booze-free. In fact, you're so free from the influence of alcohol that you could actually have a drink like a normal person. It doesn't even affect you.
This is the miracle. I can go out and have a drink. The Lord cured me of alcoholism. I don't knock AA or anything else. It's just the fact that for me, it was I wanted a complete cure. I wanted to be normal. I wanted to have a normal life. So every so often, I'll have a glass of wine. Half the time, I don't even finish the glass anymore. In my old days, I cleared the whole bottle. So it's really the miracle of the blessed rose petals, Our Lady of the Roses, where I go and I get my graces every month, more if I can, and I go to church. I'm in the front row. I do almost 3 hours a week adoration before the Blessed Sacrament, which I have direct communication with the Lord. I pray the rosary every day, 15 decades at least. I could try to get that in. And I go to daily mass, 2 to 3 masses on Sunday, and I am more happy today than I've ever been in my whole life. I am in contact with my children. I did keep contact with them. I'm loved by my children. I may have been a lousy mother, but I'm an excellent grandmother.
Thank you, Diana. Thank you, Diana, for sharing that with us today. You answered all my questions. This is Mary and Tom Bauer. Mary is actually the twin sister of Michael Mangan. Mary, you have some words you want to share with the people.
Well, I was 17 years old when I first heard about the message, Our Lady of the Roses, And for the past 28 years, I've been able to read these messages, two big, huge volumes, and always find the counsel and the advice that I needed for my particular state in life so that I was able to conduct myself as an authentic Catholic, as a single girl, as a wife, where I ultimately met and married my husband, who also converted to the faith through Bayside, and then raised five children, the eldest who made her first professions as a Carmelite nun. And all of the guidance and all the advice that I was able to put into raising this family, all of it came through Our Lady of the Roses. And I would always say that if you would read these messages of Bayside, you would find literally a roadmap to heaven.
So you're saying that Our Lady to you was a guide in the nurturing your role as a mother and a wife, and this by being obedient to the message, this has brought about beautiful fruits in your family, especially the fact that you have your oldest daughter now as a Carmelite nun in the nicest Carmelite convent in North America.
Yes, and she would be the first to testify to that as well, the fact that all of the graces of her vocation came from this fountain here in New York.
She was cradled as a Bayside.
She wouldn't have been there except through Our Lady of the Roses. And she said that the Lord glorifies Bayside, Our Lady of the Roses, Mary Help of Mothers.
So. Oh. Well, she may have a mission there that we have yet to see the fulfillment of. I understand now this has made a believer out of your husband, Tom. If you'd like to step up here. Now, you didn't used to be a Roman Catholic. You were outside of the Catholic Church. Now, you came back, you converted to Catholicism through Bayside?
That's absolutely correct, Dave. I grew up in a Protestant family. And being Protestant family, my father would take us to the church. But no, we didn't believe or anything else, because my mother would tell me when I grew up that once you're dead, that's the end of you. There's nothing going to happen. And I kind of believed it a little bit, so I went on with life that way. And then one day I met this lady here, and she brought me to Bayside, and that's history, Dave.
That's all history. It just lifted the veil. It made you realize that life begins with death, and there's a whole world of beauty, eternity out there waiting for you. That you're not going to get that presentation in the Protestant faith. So God has endowed your entire family with beautiful graces, and you attribute these graces to Bayside.
That's right, to Bayside.
You're listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we've been listening to some of the pilgrims giving their testimony at our 34th anniversary banquet at the LaGuardia Marriott. And we should point out here that the young Carmelite sister mentioned in this segment is Sister Therese of Merciful Love, OCD, who has since made her solemn professional vows as a full-fledged Carmelite nun. This took place on Pentecost Sunday, 2007. And of course, these testimonials reflect the awesome power of God emanating from these holy grounds at Bayside. And sometimes the pilgrims have been extraordinarily graced to witness supernatural wonders at the site. You may recall this spectacular miracle of the doves that took place at Bayside on February 1st, 2001. During the vigil at about 9:30 p.m., droves of miraculous white doves inundated the sky above the Vatican Pavilion site to the joy of all the pilgrims. And it just so happened that St. Michael's Radio was taking interviews on the grounds that evening during the miracle.
But then all of a sudden somebody yelled, "Doves, doves!" And there are literally hundreds of doves flying by. Then all of a sudden, there are so many doves. If they landed, we wouldn't have any room to stand.
Oh, it's a thousand. I love it. I can believe it. I'm excited. And bright so much. You can believe it. It's beautiful.
The doves came by the hundreds from the eastern part of the sky.
Before even the doves came, that wind that was blowing, it was just felt like the Holy Spirit was rushing right through. And I seen all these doves, they're really remarkable.
It really was a spectacular display. It's unparalleled. I have never in my 23 years coming to the grounds here, I can't remember such waves of doves, just wave after wave after wave of hundreds or scores of doves.
I think that we should emphasize for our listeners that these are supernatural doves that the pilgrims are viewing. These are not natural doves, quite obviously, since they do not have white doves like this in that part of New York, especially in the dead of winter. But even if they did, they certainly wouldn't be flying around at night in 30-degree cold. But even if they did, you still couldn't see them because it's very dark there at night. The dove, as we know, is the traditional symbol of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Light. And the white doves are indicative of the great spiritual light that emanates from this holy site. God is raining feathered manna upon the apostolate. And for the past 9 years, St. Michael's Radio has been reporting weekly on the many graces and miracles coming out of Bayside. This is St. Michael's Radio, and now we're going to hear again from SMWA President Michael Mangan. Recently, he interviewed a woman at the Holy Grounds, and she in turn is going to relay something rather extraordinary that happened to her.
David, it's my pleasure to have with me Antonia Rail of Kings Park, Long Island, New York. How are you doing, Antonia?
I'm good, thank you, thank you. I'm very good.
And Antonia, I know you were very excited because you experienced something very supernatural. It obviously was very touching. So let's share that with our listeners. When did it happen and what happened?
Okay. It was March 5th, Sunday morning. It started actually in the morning at 7:30 Mass when I went to the Mass. And after the Mass, I turned around and here is our pastor, Father Fitzpatrick, which is very hard to reach. And then he also suffered from cancer the second time around. And I said, oh, Father, you look so wonderful. And then he says, well, thank you for everybody's prayers. I said, all right, since we talk about that, I said, you know, did you hear about Bayside? And he sort of hesitated. I said, Father, I'm going to Bayside. He looked at me. And I said, you didn't hear the real truth about Bayside. I said, do you know now I am going and we, the holy hour is for all your priests all over the world. And then he paid attention to me. I could see. And I said, yeah, and everybody gets the grace from that. And I was shocked. And he hugged me then. And he said, thank you, thank you. And I said, I can talk to you, but now I got to go, otherwise I'm late. And so I went out of the church, and as I drove home, it was also cold, but a beautiful Sunday morning. It was around 8:15, and there comes the sun in my car, and the rays were blue, blue, blue as could be. So here I'm all excited. I go in my house, I come home, and then I drive to Bayside. I came to the ground. It was 9:30 in the morning. There was not a soul around. And then I said, okay, Blessed Mother and Jesus, do you think you're going to be on the ground just for me all alone? And then I kneel down. I always kiss the ground because I feel it's a holy ground. And as I lift my head up, the sky opened up. There was a big, big Eucharist. Michael, it was so tremendous. And I couldn't believe I could look in the Eucharist because the sun, you can't look in a sun. But that Eucharist was so beautiful, big, white. And a silver ring was around. And it came towards me down. And then I kept on looking, but I still could look at it. It didn't have, like when you look in a sun, the blinding, it was not Michael. Michael, it was not.
So obviously you were able to see it. Now, this is on top of you, as it were, right before you?
It came down between the trees on the ground where I was kneeling there. It came down, and I thought, oh, my gosh, it's going to hit me. It came down so fast that I just kept on praying, and I didn't know what to make of it.
No, you said the sky parted, it opened up, and in the midst is, no, you're referring to the Eucharist. Is this the sun? Or is this a white circle or a white host-like?
A big, gigantic, the sun turned into like a Eucharist. And then I didn't know what to make of it. And it came down so fast and around. Then comes a circle around the white Eucharist. And around the Eucharist, rays. The rays were made out of all around in white. Then the yellowish red. And I said, that's Jesus. And it just came towards me, and I got scared. I didn't know what to do, and I just prayed, and I Hail Mary.
This was formed out of the sun.
Yeah, the sun turned into the Eucharist.
And you were able to look at it without being blind? You were able to see, look at it plainly and clearly?
Anywhere else. I just looked at it because I just looked at it. I couldn't help it because it was so overwhelming, so breathtaking, so it was shining, that the Eucharist was pure white, but around it, the rays were just gigantic. Michael, it was unbelievable. It came closer and closer. I thought it's going to come down underground. And then a black cloud came, because it was kind of windy. And as the cloud moved over it, on the edge of the rays which could be shown from the whatever it was, the sun. It was breathtaking. I couldn't believe it when it joined, and there comes a black cloud. And the black cloud was scary. I said, am I going to die? I thought, really, something is going to happen. I thought, dear God, am I going to die? And that went away. And then I looked around me, and I was wondering if anybody's here. Not a soul. I didn't know what to...
How long did this last?
It took a few minutes because, it got bigger and bigger. And the second time when the clouds were gone, there comes now another... the sun or whatever it was, it came down so fast from the sky, so beautiful. I could look in it. I could look at it. I was not blinded from nothing. It was the most beautiful experience I ever had. And then the clouds came again, but the clouds turned gold, yellow. And then I looked around, and then finally someone from Bayside came. I quick got off my knees, and I took her there, and I said, come see, look at this. I said, you see the golden clouds? And she could see. I was so excited. It was shaky type. And then she said, no, Antonia, that was for you. I said, no, you got to see it. You got to see it. And she says, no. She looked, and she kneeled down. I was so shaky. I'm trying very hard to hold back. It was
really moving, obviously. It touched you right to the depths of your heart. What do you think? What was the meaning of this then, Antonia?
We need a sign, something, the Blessed Mother of Jesus, so people come back. So to uplift and have people coming and praying, I do feel that maybe it gives us a message that something will happen. I don't know. I really don't know.
Well, it certainly has encouraged you and emboldened you in your mission and the wonderful work that you do. Antonia, of course, helps set up the holy grounds and sets up the shrine every holy hour and vigil. And I'm sure Our Lady rewarded you for your extra faith and devotion. And obviously, it's touched you incredibly and encouraged you in your mission.
I feel that's a privilege to do the job I have, because you cannot say, oh, I'm not going. It's a privilege to do it, to be a servant of the Blessed Mother and Jesus. And I knew from that moment on, when you commit yourself, you rain or shine, you have to be there, because everybody depends on you. And there is no... I just love the Blessed Mother and Jesus so very much. I owe her so many thanks, make up for all the years. I wish people would just open their heart, and then they see everything so different. Look with your heart. I have the privilege to have an altogether different outlook. I am so blessed to be here, Michael. I really am.
Absolutely. I mean, as you've said many times, even off here, that you've been really enriched. It's just been a tremendous enlightenment for you. You've discovered new treasures in your faith.
And I didn't know quarter of what I learned through coming here.
Well, it's interesting, Antonia, the church, so often the church speaks about a renewal, and a conversion, and so forth. This is where you get a true, bona fide, genuine, right to the bottom of the heart, right to the gut renewal, as you're saying.
The Blessed Mother, God gives each and every one of us, no matter how little we do, as long as we are really sincere about what we do. You have to have a devotion, and, so many people, they just go to church, and they do just their thing, what they have to do, but the reverence is missing. Taking time out, like Sunday is gone, because everybody's so busy with running the mass in to rush out to do other things.
It's so important, as St. Teresa has taught us in a little way, and of course St. Teresa launched this whole mission at Bayside, is to do everything with love of God, that true, sincere, that pure love.
And I also think that so many people only pray to God and the Blessed Mother or go to church when they need something very badly. Somebody's very ill or something in some kind of trouble or what. But we should also find time to say to Jesus and the Blessed Mother, thank you. Like when you give anything to you, if I give you something, I hope, or I give something to you, we say thank you. And I think Jesus and the Blessed Mother deserve the same thing in return. That's all he wants, only recognition. Say thank you, dear Jesus. Tell my children, don't pray always just what you have. Say thank you for what I have.
Well, I think Our Lady was thanking you, Antonio. You know, with that little gift, that little vision or supernatural experience, I think that was a thank you from Our Lady to you for all of your hard work and dedication to the mission, and that you did say yes to Our Lady when you were given this assignment, this mission of helping set up the shrine so faithfully. Just to recap your supernatural experience, that you said that this was the most beautiful thing that you've ever experienced. Is this imprinted?
Michael, I wish I could make, you know, they say pictures are 1,000 words. It was so breathtaking when I say, how did I deserve this breathtaking experience? And it came down, Michael, from heaven. It just came all the way down and so fast. And I really thought it's going to hit, you know.
It was like a large Eucharistic host.
A gigantic Eucharist, wide Eucharist. That's how it started. And I right away said, oh my God, that's a Eucharist. That's not the sun. And then when it started then to form around the silver, and when the silver ring was taken, then it went rays all around, breathtaking.
Must have melted your heart.
I just didn't know what, you know, I didn't know what to say. I started praying.
So this has almost happened a month ago, but you remember like it was yesterday.
When I think about it, it comes to me so clear, and I'm still questioning how could I have been so blessed to have that experience. They are with me. They are with me. So I don't feel alone. So that's what I'm thanking, and I'm so very blessed that I found Bayside, and I thanked Veronica so often to hear that I heard her over the radio. That's what brought me really here to Bayside. Without you fellas, without you and all the boys, we would not be here. And I pray for you guys. The mission what you give your life to St. Michael's World of Apostles, you build it up from nothing. And you're carrying it with so few people. You do it by yourself. We often says, you know, the boys deserve so much credit. And we always prayed for each and everyone.
Well, thank you very much. And the Lay Order of St. Michael appreciates your prayers and support all the time.
Thank you so much. And I wish everybody, please, look into on the computer. And I beg anybody, just start looking into it. It does change your life.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Antonio.
This is St. Michael's broadcast, and this is just part of the ongoing story of Bayside. These miracles of Bayside are very predictable. You know, as a garden bringeth forth flowers, so Our Lady's holy grounds continues to bringeth forth graces and abundance, and we shall continue to report on these in the time to come. We would invite you to write for the free messages and information. You can send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That's St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Our website again, www.smwa.org. And may Our Lady bless you.